you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I'm Chris Radke from Duckburg.
Duckburg.
Duckburg. Here in Duckburg.
On the
Disney
cartoons.
Lot.
Welcome back, Chris Radke.
Hey, it's nice to be here in this new era of Star Wars.
Go on.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say minute.
Minute.
Well, we are, of course, talking about minute 81 of The Force Awakens. And minute 81 starts off with a golden droid introducing himself to Han Solo. And it ends a minute later with resistance ships returning to Yavin 4. I guess it would be Yavin 5 now.
Yeah. I don't, who knows how many Yavins there have been in the intervening years?
Yavin MacLeod.
The whole planet's a boat.
Sorry. Right, the whole planet's one big boat. One big love.
And,
big
boat. And he's the captain. What are
it
we talking
I.
about?
Chancellor Sharrow.
It
oh,
is I.
God. You guys had me on this episode?
It is I.
Oh.
I love that introductory because oh he's so like... it reminds me a little bit of, and you're gonna bristle at this perhaps because there, I know it's a thing that you like a lot. You might not like this, might not like this as much. But it kind of reminds me of Drax going like, "Behold," just that like C-3PO being like, "It is I,
it is
like,
I."
I'm gonna start introducing myself like, "It is I, Pete the Retailer."
Well met, Han Solo.
Yeah.
Oh. God almighty, this is just such garbage. He winds up
there it is there,
this is every problem I have with J.J. Abrams and what he's done to our Star Wars.
Are you one of the haters? Are you a boycotter?
No, I actually boycotter? all right, this is where I'm the human paradox. Well met.
That's your
I'm
secret
the
identity.
Human paradox.
Or am I?
I like this movie. I love this movie. I'm very glad it exists, and I'm very happy that it came when it did. This movie means a lot to me. That being said, I am very critical of this movie. In
tough just, love.
It's tough love. Mm. It is tough love. And... I will say that this is, like, on my list of the worst moments in Star Wars history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is up there with
really?
Some,
really?
This little, and it's like, what, 3-4 seconds?
The part mm-hmm. about C-3PO?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the rest of we'll talk about it the rest of the minute, but,
right.
but the whole...
I love this part.
Oh, my arm. Hello, am I the new man? You may not recognize me because of this arm. I stuck it in a mystery box. I don't know how it happened. It's just so... Like, it's ham-fisted. Ham-fisted? Yeah.
Han.
Han-fisted, and it's it feels so forced and unnecessary.
I get it. Yeah. It does.
Hand-fisted and forced.
It does. It goes a little bit too far, which I guess that's... So, after when he's walking away and talking to BB-8, I think that line puts it over the... Over the top. I don't like that part where it's like, yes, I really must get my original arm like reattached. That's garbage.
Everybody
if
that
I can
is
borrow a phrase.
Yeah, everybody that's involved in this is embarrassed for themselves. Like they're just like, oh god. And
but up until that, I love it. It's one of my favorite parts. Not of the whole. I loved the movie and then dipped a little bit, but I love this whole scene and that C-3PO bit included.
That C-3PO busting in and being like, you know, he could just be like, Captain Solo, it's so good to see you. And that's about it. He doesn't, mm-hmm. You don't need the gag because the gag is not funny.
I think it's funny.
Ugh.
Well, the gag of him showing up is funny.
Right.
But the
right.
gag of the thing of the red arm doesn't really have any kind of.
Well, and that he wouldn't recognize him
right.
because of that. Like,
okay, so this is the thing that I really wanted to drive home here.
Okay.
C-3PO in the original trilogies is an important character in the story. He is a bit of a, you know, fussy guy.
Original trilogies?
Original trilogy.
Okay, I thought you said original trilogies. And I was
four,
like,
five, and six. I may have misspoken.
All right.
Four, five, and six.
I had follow-up questions if it was original trilogies.
No. Go ahead. So... C-3PO and R2-D2 are important characters in those movies. They have things to do. They have important things that they say. They deliver. They hit their marks in really good ways. They provide comic relief, but they're not clowns. And I feel that once the prequels hit, they're just treated as props. They're no longer part of the story. Where they were always... They're the through line through everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take a back seat in the prequels, right? And their origins become muddled and like it just it gets strange. And 3PO becomes just this like just a buffoon, you know, like a Borat kind of like idiot walking around saying dumb things and getting into stupid situations, and at the peak of the disrespect shown to C-3PO is the droid factory where he loses his head.
It's the peak of disrespect shown to a lot of different people and things,
including the audience.
Yes, it is really is like just that, and this I feel is on par with that in terms of like, oh, he just comes like he's used here. As a stupid gag, and he could have been used for the great comic effect, but instead it becomes a forced mystery box gag because, you know, I like to introduce things and don't explain them. That's my, you know, it's like, and that's his lazy filmmaking and storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that's where this thing just drives me nuts. And then.
What? Go on.
No, I've been talking too much. This is.
You've said too much.
I've said too much.
Oh no, you've said too much.
You assume too much.
No, but I think it's good. It's like it's like the different dish on the Falcon. It's like time has passed. Obviously, you know, the human characters have gotten older. How do we show that other characters are older? Like if C-3PO's also lived these last 30 years, like what's a good way of indicating that? Oh, he's lived a life and he's had stuff happen in the last 30 years. Oh, well, just one of his parts is slightly different. And then the joke is just that he's, you know, like assuming, I don't know, maybe it's because I live in that, like, sometimes I feel like C-3PO and that people wouldn't recognize me if I had a red arm deep down inside.
Well, you know, it's too bad it's not this, like, he's got some, like, war club arm, like a war-forged thing, you know? And instead, it's just like, oh, yeah. And then, do we know how he got the arm?
I do.
I do as well. And let's talk about that, shall we?
Educate me, gentlemen.
What do you know?
Well, so basically, there was a Marvel comic that came out 5 months after the movie came out.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was, like, timed to...
By James Robinson, Tony Harris, and Joe Caramanga.
The Starman team?
Yes.
While on a mission to for the Resistance, a bunch of droids are stranded on a planet, and a nihilistic droid named Omri...
Omri!
who's a Death Star droid.
It was a great science fiction magazine.
He sacrifices himself to save the group, and he gives and Creepio, who lost his arm in the story, takes on his red arm as a like a tribute to his fallen droid friend.
Okay, there's a bit in that story which is which I think is interesting to bring all this back together. Is so he has a moment where he's talking to Omri, and it's the like they're the last ones left, and the rest of their droid friends that they were trying to save have all died these like really pointless deaths, and Omri is saying like, you know, you're a jerk, C-3PO. You get your memory wiped all the time. You let them, you know, just you let our masters just manipulate, and you accept it, and he's like, don't you don't you wish you knew where you came from? And C-3PO is like, hey, look, we're droids. This is how it is. You know, they wipe our memories.
It's our lot in life.
Our lot, and that's exactly it. C-3PO kind of gives his that's it. And Omri's kind of like, oh, you know, and 3PO then admits that he has flashes of memories, and he rattles off like, I remember being on a different body in a factory, and like, and it literally is
all he remembers is the droid factory,
right? And it's front and center. It's like the first thing. He's like, "Yeah, I remember. I remember losing my head, being on another body." And you know, he talks about all these little flashes, and then like, "Oh, Star Wars is happening," but that's where this whole thing is like, man. At some point down the road, C-3PO is going to get wiped again. I hope it happens in the next movie, and then this will just be like a faded memory for him. Every once in a while, it'll be like a memory of him looking at his hand, but it's not his hand. Something like that.
See, I think that's what bugs me about it. I love the idea, like Pete said, of it just being, oh, this was just, you know, he had this adventure years ago as opposed to 20 minutes before this movie started.
Right.
And then, like, you know, it's on, don't comment on it, like the radar dish on the Falcon.
Right.
But the fact that they call attention to it, and then next time you see him, he doesn't even have the stupid thing. It's like, why got it fixed.
Yeah.
I know, but why even go through the trouble of all that then? For that one line?
Well, think of how many, you know, at least on the Star Wars Minute Listener Society on Facebook, how many gags, how many times we've been able to dig up that gag. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't recognize him because of the red arm. Like, well, that leads to that. That is, it's a little chuckle that kind of diffuses briefly the emotion of this scene.
This does not get props for postmodernism and meme culture.
The fact that we remember it is, I don't know, I think that it's a worthy enough gag just for a little.
I
wish he kept the red arm.
Totally wish he kept the red arm.
Me too. I agree with that. And I wish that he didn't say, he wasn't talking about it to BB-8 as he walked off.
He should have been doing one-armed push-ups with it and being like, he's got all sorts of new powers with that arm. And
his powers have doubled since we last saw him.
Exactly. Right. Look at my powerful red arm. Well met, Solo. Yeah, so that happened.
So where does C-3PO go? He just wanders off into the
wreckage. Come on, BB-8, let's go through the pockets of the dead.
Maybe one of them has an arm I can steal.
You see him with like a stormtrooper arm next.
He gets climbing on with carrying like a bushel full of arms to try out.
One of these has to work. I wonder how many droids might have been destroyed in the destruction. Yeah. No droids were harmed. No, how many droids might have been harmed in the destruction of Maz Kanata's castle?
Well, you figure some people, some humans, some aliens and robots had a good, they blew up the whole castle. They had to take
everybody's
somebody
dead.
Out.
That's it.
And we don't even know what happened to Maz. She just kind of like disappears.
But she's supposed to go
lazy,
with them
lazy,
point.
Lazy filmmaking. There's so much. Well, every minute. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, okay, no. Okay. They even up to filming that she went with them at this point. She joined the resistance and was it was a whole thing. But then as they reconfigured the story kind of later, then they lost that. There was like, I don't know if it was too confusing. It was too much going on. I don't know, but.
She served her purpose. She gave the exposition, and then she faded away in like a cloud.
Yeah, it just
only to show up as a hologram.
Right? She's like the Poochie. Here's a lightsaber. Gotta go. Yeah, I mean it's so. Oh, I will say also this. What we see in this scene as well, the backdrop is my least favorite ship.
That really
in all of Star Wars.
I agree. It is your least favorite.
It is, yes. It is Leia's Force Awakens transport ship is silly.
I just think it's boring.
It's boring. It literally is like somebody was like, "What if the ship flew sideways?" And I'm just it's lousy.
I like it also. I like it more than the B-wing from which it is derived. Not a big fan of A-wings or B-wings, and this is and then supposedly derived from a B-wing, and I like this because it seems, you know, it's utilitarian.
It's like a twin pod cloud car that got a fat middle.
Yeah.
That's not like a twin pod. Twin pod cloud cars are awesome.
They are awesome because they're very sleek and have that.
And plus they have twin pods.
Yeah. Mm.
And then they reuse the same idea in Solo, except this time they have the ship standing up on its side. Right. What if the ship was on its side this time?
Whoa.
What's the next configuration then? They should have one that goes like a boomerang.
Or one that goes backwards.
Yeah.
It's like tapered at the back.
Yeah.
But I like the ship, and I like the kind of composition of the shot too, where you have it's slightly long shot, and you have, you know, the ship and all, you know, things kind of, there's still people walking around in the background, but then over on the right side, just kind of the right half of the screen is just Han and Leia just kind of standing looking at each other, you know, quietly.
Lens flare too. You know what, let's talk about things I like about J.J. Abrams.
Please.
I think he is has an incredible eye for casting. All of his projects, I really like the people that he finds to be in them.
He's a star maker.
He is a star maker. I mean, and I think
both that, Wars and Trek.
Yeah. Oh God. So
you're really trying to get him back into being negative, aren't you?
So he's very
talk more about garbage.
So I think the cast, like the new generation of Star Wars is they're great. And I think he's a good, makes nice scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's surrounding himself with competent people to help him, and his movies look nice, and like they're like, this is, it's all beautiful. I mean, like the way it all works out, it's good. But it gets, it's just when it comes to actually telling the story, he's lazy, and he cuts corners, and he hides behind, like, you know, I don't need to explain it. Let your mind and your creativity take you on a journey. It's just, yeah.
Well, I much prefer that than like, here's everything and how it's explained and how everything's connected and here's how, you know, we're leaving nothing to the imagination and none of it is good as what you thought. You know, if I have a choice between the two, I much prefer that, like, who knows, you know?
Right. Okay. Life is sloppy. Now things happen.
There are shadows in life, baby.
Yeah. So actually we're sitting here, like, you know, I'm talking all this dumb stuff and really what's happening here is Han Solo and Princess Leia are together again.
Well, I wanted to, while we're talking about the shot and all that, I wanted to give a shout out to the cinematographer. It's Dan Mindell. I don't know. Mindell? Star Wars Mindell. But he did Mission Impossible 3 and Star Trek, the Star's Trek with JJ and Force Awakens, and he's working on Episode 9.
What non-J.J. Abrams projects has he
done? He's a bad robot.
He also did...
he is one bad robot.
Dangerous Minds, Enemy of the State, Shanghai Noon.
So he's been around for a while, then.
Zoolander number 2.
Number
Pacific
2.
Rim Uprising. I don't know. Bunch of stuff like that.
He's an old hand.
The one is he was director of photography on. Then he's got a lot of other... a couple of other things going back, but I, you know, the one thing, you know, I don't think I've seen, the Amazing Spider-Man 2. There we go. I didn't see that one.
I never saw that one either.
But, and John Carter. John Carter looked good and had a good cast.
I liked John Carter. I feel bad for Tim Riggins, man. That guy can't get a break.
That movie, this isn't a John Carter minute, nor should there be a John Carter minute per se. But that movie was like the all-star game of the golden age of television.
Yeah.
But somehow it just didn't click. There's something missing from the story, I think.
You know what it is? Is all that pulp stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Just stop it. Just stop making pulp stuff because you can, because it's free to make, right? I don't need a Man of Bronze. I don't need Lone Ranger.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, man. Forget it. Just keep the... Nope. Don't want it.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Anyway, so it does look nice, and thanks to Star Wars Mendel.
Star Wars Mendel. Mendel.
But yeah, then we'll Lord C-3PO Mendo. And C-3PO BB-8 walk off. What do you think their relationship is? He's just like, oh, come along, BB-8. Like,
BB-8 can't stand C-3PO.
You think?
Yeah, BB-8, because BB-8 is we've pretty much seen is got a bit of an attitude.
Mm-hmm. Are you in the belief when he get, remember that scene where Finn gets
finger
a thumbs
or thumb?
Up? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thumb. I never for any moment thought it was the finger.
So he doesn't have that bad of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's a good robot.
It's not bad eight.
No, but he doesn't like C-3PO.
Bad attitude.
Bad eight. So yeah, it's very much they're walking off, and C-3PO is like, "Come on, let's go see if we can find some arms."
And he's like,
"BB-8's like, oh Jesus,
maybe I can get some arms."
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people that can't stand each other, we also get a courtesy hug from Chewie to Leia.
Oh, and she doesn't say a word to him.
They hug.
They don't like
each other. He says a few things to her, like, "Oh, you know what he says?" He's like, "You got heavy." And she doesn't say, and she just kind of, I mean, she gives a little like smirk and that's it, man. That's it. 'Cause, you know, and it really comes down to the fact, it's like from day one, you know, he's just like walking carpet. That is a huge insult to the Wooks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stole his man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there is that.
Like Jolene.
Mean Jolene.
Then there's also, well, how long do we think it's been since these two have seen each other? Not Chewbacca and Leia, but Han and Leia. Or Han and Chewbacca and Leia. It's probably the same time.
Funny, in the C-3PO comic book, they're the ones that drop C-3PO off on the planet. So about 5 months.
Wow.
They drop them off together?
They're like, 3PO, you're going to drop you and your droid friends off on this planet while we go argue because we're divorced.
Right.
And then that's it.
Well, we think it's been 10 years that they've been broken up, right?
It's been 10 years or maybe more since he last laid eyes on her.
No, I think he's seen her more recently than that.
Heartbreaker, your time has come. Never mind.
I was all half with you. I knew that you were referencing something. I didn't know what it was.
I was trying. Alex, I know. You don't like Led Zeppelin.
I like Led Zeppelin, okay.
Let's talk about Led Zeppelin now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that what we're saying? About 10 years? Is that the...
I thought that was the figure.
Look up the lore.
I thought that was the figure we came up with.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it's been 3 years. Just picking a number at random.
But, you say 10.
I don't know where 10 came from, but yeah, sure, I'll stand by it.
I'm going to say...
Maybe I should look it up.
The last time they saw each other was 2 days after they dropped Ben off with Luke.
Do you think they broke up right then?
They sent him to Jedi school. They went back home. They kind of tried to have a go at it. but then they realized, and then...
Well, so it didn't have anything to do with him turning to the dark side. It was just like empty nest syndrome.
No. I think they...
The way they talk about it, I think there was something, like, they didn't agree on whether or not he should be trained, right? That's right. Part of what they start to talk about. So maybe that's, like, Han Solo was just like, look, it's...
I think if you're going to train him
as a Jedi, I don't want any part of it.
That really changes the character, though, to me. That seems like Han Solo's a jerk.
He ran away.
Well, but I thought it had more to do with the fact that, like, their son basically died, and, you know, that's very tough for a lot of most relationships couldn't survive that kind of trauma. So I didn't think he was just like, oh, he's going to become a Jedi? Forget it. I'm out of here.
So, I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, that could be true.
He could be a jerk. But
I think what they've set up, and this is what I find to be a bit of a bummer here, is because, like, everybody's complaining about Luke Skywalker. You know, that's not the Luke Skywalker that I know. And, you know, and the whole just mess of what we'll talk about in a future date. This is worse, right? This, to me, is like, everybody's complaining about Hermit Luke, but, you know, like... this sucks. Han Solo and Princess Leia get divorced, and that's it. They break up, and no one seems to complain about that. Everybody's complaining about, oh, that's not Luke, and that's the character. I'm like, no, they're the couple. They're the romance of Star Wars. They're not supposed to be broken up. And to have it be this kind of thing where they're just there's tension, and you don't get the payoff with any of the payoff moments. You don't get any of these things that happen where we get the, like, all of them together and having the good times and having an adventure, like, because they're divorced. That's it. They're divorced, and it's a bummer, man. And I'm sorry. I'm just assuming JJ's parents got divorced, and that's why they're divorced. Mm-hmm. And we all have to suffer because his grandpa took him to the magic store and he saw a magic box.
A red magic box.
Well, again, I think it's, you know, a way of kind of indicating that time has passed and people live lives, and, you know, just because they were the romance of that, but that doesn't necessarily always hold true.
People,
and I guess split, but sure, we want it to be a fantasy world, but I like that it's also, you know, it seems like it has a real life to it. I'm not saying I want it to be gritty or everything has to be, you know,
I
super
wish gritty
real,
was in
gritty.
This.
Yeah, the Flyers mascot. but I don't know. It's another thing that like 3PO's red arm. I like that they were, you know, because it makes like it's true. Like, they're each true to their own characters, even though if you think that they're
it's the texture. I love texture. It's great. Right. That's why we all love Star Wars.
But
except you made Han Solo and Princess Leia divorced. That's what everyone should be upset about. Not Luke sitting on an island being sad. This. And the other thing I'll tell you, and here's actually why I think, and I'll blame it all on JJ some more. JJ's the guy that came in, bullied his way into getting this the job to make this movie. And what does he do? He's a smart guy. He sits down and he looks at his playing cards. He's like, I got Mark Hamill, I got Carrie Fisher, and I got Harrison Ford. Okay, and I got Harrison Ford for one movie because he's told me that he wants to die.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and his character too.
And he was so drunk when he said it. So what happens is he's looking at what he's got, and he's got a great actor who, you know, is phoning it in for the past 20 years, but Harrison Ford is one of, you know, America's favorite humans. And then you got Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, who we all love and adore, but they did their Star Wars, and then they became Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, right? Don't go sitting here like, you know, like Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are not great actors. Right, they're limited in what they can do. So JJ was smart enough to be like, okay, I'm gonna limit what Carrie's gonna be in because she's so high, and I'm gonna limit what Mark is gonna be in because he's a terrible actor. And when people are like, wait a second, what about the Joker? I'm like, Joker and all the voices and things, he's incredible, but you don't get to see his face, and he's doing voice work, and it is different than being in front of the screen.
Not even, I don't know, I think he's always appropriate
appropriate for this, but he's limited. He's limited in his range and what he can do, in my opinion.
Right. I don't think that makes him terrible. I think that's just he's completely appropriate for some roles.
Okay, I'm being dramatic. I know. Okay, he's not. Wow. So he's looking at the cards that he has out, and he's like, "All right, I'm going to stick with Han Solo. I'm going to stick with Harrison Ford, and I'm going to pass the other two. I'll give them little bits. I'm going to pass them on to the next guy to figure out." Mm-hmm. And that's. That's what I think happens here, right? Because Carrie Fisher, love her. I cried like a baby the day she died. I love her just as much as you do. But, why, you know, when you see her, like, oh, here comes Carrie Fisher. She's doing a Princess Leia, and she's totally wasted in every scene. And she is just, she's just party on Carrie, man. And that's, and when you see her, it is, you know, she says some... It's like getting her to having her saying lines like, you know, what does she say? She says later on. We'll save it for the other minutes. But anyway, I'm rambling. Sorry.
No, no, it's okay. I think that is, you know, like you said, though, like in line with what you said, that they're both.
Oh, that's why he made them divorced, because he didn't want to have to deal with them.
Being together.
Being together, because she knows her limits as an actress.
Right. Which is, you know, which is fine, which is good. Because and they're not, like, I think that they are both, maybe because of those limits, like, you know, it's hard to separate Princess Leia from Carrie Fisher.
Right.
And so, like, it's easy to imagine that the Princess Leia that we're seeing here is, has, you know, kind of been living a life a little bit like Carrie Fisher has, or that, you know, Mark Hamill, like not total,
that would
not to the same
awesome if that's
extent.
What it was like,
not, but like it's a little bit, oh, she's been, you know, like living a life, you know, it's mm-hmm. you know, she's a little bit
space rehab.
I would have much rather Han Solo and Princess Leia being like old, like, you know, just old and rich and kind of, you know, disgusting in their behaviors, because
they, like, disaffected.
Yeah, like I would have been, I would have been totally great with that instead of them just being divorced. And
I think it should have been them before they got divorced. Well, first of all, do we know if they were actually married?
Yes,
they were.
Apparently,
married.
Canonically, they were. I couldn't find a timeline on it, but apparently, they were. Officially,
this
married.
Whole movie should just been about like Kramer versus Kramer.
Well, yeah, I was saying, it should have been right before they broke up, and they should have been like bickering. But instead of it being cute and flirty, it was like genuinely like
and then
uncomfortable.
And their son kills and murders the dad. That would have been awesome.
It's like the Menendez brothers. I think it's. Yeah. I think it's. I think I am totally fine with them breaking up. I think it's. I think it's more realistic because, you know, with a princess and a guy like him, it just wasn't going to work. He's a drifter. You know.
Nope.
Like a drifter.
He loves her,
and she's a princess.
It doesn't just because, you know, they love each other doesn't necessarily mean that it works.
Ugh. God.
I want to peek into the alternate reality where they're together and you're like, oh, they should have been I'd rather see them divorced than see them be this disaffected rich jerks.
No, I want it to be like the Jeffersons. That's what I want to
see. Wait, which couple are they?
They're
Wheezy and George?
George and Wheezy.
Or Roxy Roker and the white guy.
No, it's Wheezy and George. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I still can't find a time frame on this.
I think they purposely kept it vague.
Yeah. But it looks like it was as the result of Kylo becoming, you know, Ben becoming Kylo Ren and kind of, you know, turning to the dark side. After that, then Han Solo's family fell apart, according to this, the lasting consequence of Ben's transformation into Kylo Ren. So then that's when Han Solo split. He's like, I can't.
You imagine the first time he showed up wearing that. He came back from spring break wearing that outfit. I guess it would be Thanksgiving break. He comes back and he's wearing that gown and hockey mask.
It's son, like what are you doing over there?
It's like a really early version of it.
Yeah. And then she comes out all sauced. You look like my father. What are you doing? Mom, Dad, you don't understand me.
I'm Kylo Ren now.
Ben, what? Ben?
Benji,
boy, what is it? It's Kylo, Dad, Kylo.
She was like, I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, great, you upset the dog.
won't stop. You look great. You look great. You look great. You look great.
Don't listen to them, Ben. Well, so a lot more Leia and Han vitriol to expel in the coming week. So, is there anything else for this particular minute? Anyone wants to say?
I got nothing left to say.
All
right. We also find out that she's a general now.
General. General.
Which is she wasn't a general in the other movies, was she? This is the debut of General Organa.
Doesn't Finn say that at the beginning? So something about General Organa or whatever, and then
Poe.
Yeah. And then
To me she's Leah royalty. Right.
Says she's royalty. Yeah.
To me she's always royalty.
But she wasn't a general in, unlike Han and Luke, she was not a general in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, although he doesn't say a specific. Oh, it's implied because he says, well, but to me, the general's been after this for a long time. Yeah. And he says, the general, to me, she's royalty. So they don't explicitly say Leia, but you're assuming that it is. But yeah, this is so she was not.
Congratulations to Princess Leia.
Yes. I think she was just still princess.
So the rank before Jedi. General is princess.
Yeah.
She was vice princess.
Princess
Mad Dog Mattis became general.
Princess Rykian thinks it's dangerous for all ships to leave the system.
Princess Grievous. All right, then. I guess that'll wrap up minute 81. Chris, will you come back tomorrow?
There's more? Yeah. Okay.
This is not the end of the movie. There is a couple more minutes. All right, then. So, hey, you know where else you can interact with Chris Radke? Over on Facebook in the Star Wars Minute Listener Society, where Chris Radke pops up from time to time to share his words of wisdom.
That's a really great place.
It is.
I quit Facebook. Like I stopped the Facebook. Like, I really actively... very, very, very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it's been a couple of years now, but I maintain my account only so I can go into that stupid place.
Yeah, that's pretty much true for me, too.
Yeah, it's great.
And also, we're on Instagram at The Star Wars Minute. We post a screen capture every day of the episode we're doing. So if you want to get a visual clue as to what we're going on, I also post some of the Gold Squadron artwork I do for our Patreon supporters.
I really like your social media cards that you started to implement.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
It's great. And it's a lot of funny little clever wordplay.
You can see the titles of the episodes, which most people don't normally get to see.
Yeah, because I always enjoy the I wonder what the title of this episode would be.
And then you hear it when we say it later on, and it's like, that's what they were talking about.
Nice.
All right, then, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow for another Star Wars
Minute.